A voice came from behind Tricia. She turned round. I'm sorry? I'm Gail Andrews. You interviewed me this morning. Oh, good heavens, yes, said Tricia, slightly flustered. I left the message for you a few hours ago. I hadn't heard, so I came by. I didn't want to miss you. No, of course, said Tricia, trying hard to get up to speed. I don't know about this, said the receptionist, for whom speed was not an issue. Would you like me to try this number for you now? No, that'll be fine, thanks, said Tricia. I can handle it now. I can call this room number here for you if that'll help, said the receptionist, peering at the note again. No, that won't be necessary, thanks, said Tricia. That's my own room number. I'm the one the message was for. I think we've sorted this out now. You have a nice day now, said the receptionist. Tricia didn't particularly want to have a nice day. She was busy. She also didn't want to talk to Gail Andrews. She had a very strict cut-off point as far as fraternizing with the Christians was concerned. Her colleagues called her interview subjects Christians, and would often cross themselves when they saw one walking innocently into the studio to face Tricia, particularly if Tricia was smiling warmly and showing her teeth. She turned and smiled frostily, wondering what to do. Gail Andrews was a well-groomed woman in her mid-40s. Her clothes fell within the boundaries defined by expensive good taste, but were definitely huddled up at the floatier end of those boundaries. She was an astrologer, a famous, and if rumour were true, influential astrologer, having allegedly influenced a number of decisions made by the late President Hudson, including everything from which flavour of cream whip to have on which day of the week, to whether or not to bomb Damascus. Tricia had savaged her more than somewhat, not on the grounds of whether or not the stories about the President were true, that was old hat now. At the time, Ms. Andrews had emphatically denied advising President Hudson on anything other than personal, spiritual, or dietary matters, which did not apparently include the bombing of Damascus. "Nothing personal, Damascus," the tabloids had hooted at the time. Now, this is a neat topical little angle that Tricia had come up with about the whole issue of astrology itself. Ms. Andrews had not been entirely ready for it. Tricia, on the other hand, was not entirely ready for a rematch in the hotel lobby. What to do? I can wait for you in the bar if you need for a few minutes, said Gail Andrews, but I would like to talk to you, and I'm leaving the city tonight. She seemed to be slightly anxious about something rather than aggrieved or irate. Okay, said Tricia, give me 10 minutes. She went up to her room. Apart from anything else, she had so little faith in the ability of the guy on the message desk at reception to deal with anything so complicated as a message that she wanted to be doubly certain that there wasn't a note under the door. It wouldn't be the first time that messages at the desk and messages under the door had been completely at odds with each other. There wasn't one. The message light on the phone was flashing, though. She hit the message button and got the hotel operator. "You have a message from Gary Andress," said the operator. Yes, said Tricia, an unfamiliar name. What does it say? Not hippie, said the operator. Not what, said Tricia? Hippie, what it says. Guy says he's not a hippie. I guess he wanted you to know that. You want the number? As she started to dictate the number, Tricia suddenly realized that this is a garbled version of the message she had already had. Okay, okay, she said. Are there any other messages for me? Room number? Tricia couldn't work out why the operator should suddenly ask her for her number this late in the conversation, but gave it to her anyway. Name? Macmillan. Tricia Macmillan. Tricia spelt it patiently. Not Mr. McManus? No. No more messages for you. Click. Tricia sighed and dialed again. This time she gave her name and room number all over again up front. The operator showed not the slightest glimmer of recognition that they had been speaking less than 10 seconds ago. I'm going to be in the bar, Tricia explained. In the bar. If a phone call comes through for me, please would you put it through to me in the bar. Name? They went through it all a couple more times, till Tricia was certain that everything that possibly could be clear was as clear as it possibly could be. She showered, put on fresh clothes, and retouched her makeup with the speed of a professional, and, looking at her bed with a sigh, left the room again. She had half a mind just to sneak off and hide. No, not really. She had a look at herself in the mirror in the elevator lobby while she was waiting. She looked cool and in charge, and if she could fool herself, she could fool anybody.